This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. When a family faces homelessness, a child can be displaced from familiar comforts, including school, friends, and even toys. Three University of Cincinnati students thought a sidekick could help, so they started working with children at Upspring to create toys for them. And here to discuss sidekicks is Macy Meyer, who created the project, along with Andy Meyer and Jamie Mayer. Also joining us are Upspring Executive Director Mike Morosky, University of Cincinnati School of Social Work Assistant Professor Dr. James Canfield, and WCPO reporter Lucy May. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So, Macy, start off by telling us, how did the three of you come up with this idea? What got you thinking about doing this?
So, initially, at the beginning of the summer semester, we were assigned our capstone project, just starting to research something that we're interested in pursuing for a year to finish out our final year of school. And Jamie and I initially knew we were going to work together, so we started just kind of researching anything that we were interested or passionate about. We found that we really wanted to focus on breaking down some sort of barrier or stigma. And so we landed on people experiencing homelessness, and we wanted to kind of figure out a way that we could break that down and somehow not solve the problem, but really dig into that and figure out how what we could design into. And so we came up with this idea of allowing children to create their own stuffed animals and design them, and then we take their stuffed animals home, or their drawings home, and create them into stuffed animals. And so with Andy being a graphic designer, we grabbed him on board, and so that's kind of how we ended up where we are.
How much research went into doing this?
So we reached out to pretty much anyone and everyone who has anything to do with people experiencing homelessness in Cincinnati. So it ended up being around 30 hours of interviews.
And so that's how you talked to James, and that's how you got in contact with Mike. That's how they all got involved in this, right?
Yes. Their names were bouncing around a lot in our interviews, and so we figured we should probably talk with them.
Yeah. When they came to you with this idea, Mike, what did you think?
I was really, really, really impressed. I'm really fortunate in that a lot of young folks in town email me or tweet me or Facebook me or LinkedIn me with big ideas. And so I get to meet with a lot of young folks, even though I'm not in the classroom anymore. I used to be a teacher, but I still kind of get to teach, but it's in like coffee shops. And so I meet with a lot of people and I hear a lot of ideas. And most all of them are nice and they're good, but they require a little more. I'd say one in every 2 years is something golden, and that's immediately how I felt about
it. So this is golden to you.
Okay. It's a golden idea. It's a necessary idea, and I'll be brief so James can add his two cents, because I know we feel the same way about this. For a number of key reasons. One, it fills a need that doesn't exist. Two, it's research-based, and it's very, very well thought out. A lot of folks, when they come with their big idea, they haven't talked to anyone. The idea comes first. So Macy and Jamie and Andy spoke to everybody before they even got to me. So by the time they got to me, they knew every single reason why their idea was awesome. So I really just saw it was incumbent upon me to give them an infrastructure in which they could actualize their dream through our organization, Upspring, and our summer camp. And that's what we did, and it was awesome.
Absolutely.
James, what?
I think the first thing I told them was just, it's brilliant. I think I used more colorful language than that, but I told them it was absolutely brilliant. I think, to echo what Mike had said, oftentimes we conceptualize homelessness as a housing issue, and for good reason, but we often neglect the tendrils that experiencing homelessness leave in a child's life, and this addresses that. Same thing with Mike's organization, Upspring. They address the other aspects of homelessness for a kid's life. They address that social aspect. They address that attachment, that feeling of belonging. I thought it was a brilliant idea from the first time I heard it. I know they were a little hesitant, and I actually threw like a wadded up piece of paper and said, this is a brilliant idea. Please
do
run
this.
With this. Yes, please run with it.
Lucy, tell us your thoughts on this, since you've reported on this.
Yeah, I was fantastic to watch. Jamie and Macy and Mike were gracious enough to let us go to watch some of the kids do their designs at Upspring, and then we watched the sidekicks get delivered after several of them were made. And it was really fantastic to watch the the kids at the camp really delve into the creation of their own designs. You could tell they were really taking ownership, and they all had stories behind what they were drawing and why they were drawing it and why it was important to them. And then to see the looks on their faces when Macy and Jamie delivered the finished product was really, I felt very honored and fortunate to be there for that.
Macy, how many toys have you developed from the kids' ideas so far? How many of these have you done?
So with our piloting with Upspring, we had 4 children. So in a week's time, we did 4 sessions sitting down with the kids, letting them draw, and then brought back 4 different stuffed animals. I've done some prototypes with some other children just to kind of see what the interaction is with kids and how they respond to drawing and that sort of thing. But so far, 4 children have received the full sidekick.
Oh, what's the process? Can you describe the artistic process that goes into this?
Yeah, absolutely. So we sit down with the kid and we allow them to use crayons or colored pencils. We learned after speaking with an art therapist that it's really important to give them something sturdy and something that allows them to be in full control, because, again, that's something that they don't get to experience a lot in their life. So we step away and allow them to take full control over their drawing, draw their favorite imaginary character, friend, creature, whatever they could possibly imagine. We come back, sit down with them, and ask them to walk us through that entire process of what they've drawn. So tell us the story. Who is this person or thing? You know, why did you draw them? And the biggest thing is having no assumptions, because what you might think is an ear is not an ear. we learned that very quickly in our process. Or a bear that we think has 4 legs only has 2. So it's amazing to see the kids really develop this story behind their character, which allows me to go home and, you know, build this character and bring it to life. And I think just understanding where the kid has come from with their imagination allows me to be more creative in the patterning and the sewing process, and then being able to deliver their work back to them.
So no matter what the child imagines, no matter how wild or unique it might be, that's what you're trying to recreate for them.
Yes. So the stepping back to see the child's drawing is always a little bit intimidating, because I don't ever know what I'm going to be walking into. But it's always a good laugh. And it's really just bringing their idea to life, however they have envisioned that.
Micah, what are the reactions that you've seen from the kids?
Well, they all want to hug Macy. is the first reaction, and then at camp, long after Macy had left and Jamie and Andy, we had one student who wouldn't let his sidekick go. The sidekick's name was Creech. How is it spelled, Macy?
K I H I E.
And you'll have to tell us what Creech was. So
Creech was an 11-legged octopus.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's pretty clear.
Yeah. Was that clear in the name?
Yeah. I thought that was understood, Mark.
Yeah.
But sure, of course.
I think some of his legs were long and could even lift up cars and stuff.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. He had some interesting characteristics.
So he's a bit of a superhero here.
Right,
okay.
Right.
That's right. And so Creech, he wouldn't let Creech go. And so the kids were holding on to their sidekick. And to see that sense of ownership over something is so important. So for kids experiencing homelessness, the transience they experience creates this isolated sort of environment. And that isolation makes it nearly impossible to learn or focus when you're in school. Our kids get really good at hiding, and they don't have a lot to call their own, to identify with, to bounce their own identity off of. And what Macy and Jamie have done, they've taken this one step further. There's a lot of good programs that give kids takeaways, and they have takeaways. But Macy and Jamie, and Macy touched on this, and I just want to elaborate real quickly. Excuse me. Macy touched on that she piloted this with other kids to figure out what this process would be like walking it through, and to not make any assumptions on, oh, that's an ear or that's a tail, because it might not be. And watching Macy and Jamie go through this process and let the kids direct every step of the way. A lot of people say they do that, but Macy and Jamie really do. And then they take their lead from the kid, and it's really, really special to see. And the smiles on the kids' faces, it's why we do what we do at Upspring every day anyway. And I hadn't seen smiles that big in a long time. And they smile all through our summer camp, but they love their sidekick.
Lucy, I'm just amazed by the attention to detail that goes into this.
Yeah, it really is amazing. It's kind of like Build-A-Bear Workshop and Project Runway had a baby and that sidekick. And one of the things that's really cool, too, is not only do the kids get to draw their creations, but then Macy and Jamie bring out these swatches of fabric. So very wisely, anybody who's a parent know you don't tell a kid, hey, pick whatever color in the world you want because they'll pick something that doesn't exist or that, you know, costs $1 million. But instead, they have these swatches of fabrics that the kids can touch and feel and decide what their creature will be made of. And it was great to see the kids get that kind of control, too. And then they took very careful notes about the eyes are this color, the legs are this color, the body's this color, and how they work together. And, you know, the kids are really involved every step of the way.
And, James, is that aspect of control, is that why this is so beneficial for these kids?
Partly. Part of it is just being listened to and truly being listened to, and having agency over something like that is massively important. When we think of homelessness, we think of it as an experience of transience, but it's also an experience of isolation for children as well. So the opportunity to have an adult come in, listen, and then to actually tangibly see how that adult listened to you mm-hmm. is unbelievably important and one of the most brilliant things that has come from this.
Yeah, I can't say it much better than James. I mean, this guy literally wrote a book on educating kids experiencing homelessness. And to see the children develop a bond of trust with Macy that quickly. And it's not some phony bond of trust. It's very real. And if I may be so bold to tell Macy, the research is really great, but you have the spirit about you, you and Jamie both, and Andy, that
Absolutely.
Makes this, that really is what makes this special. Mm-hmm. The research without the spirit is kind of hollow. It's nice.
The
spirit without the research is cute, but you have both. And that's really the thing, right?
Yes.
And so these kids know that Macy is caring about them.
So you're saying they got heart for doing this. Their heart's in the right place.
They have the heart, the research, the work ethic. All they need is the funding. So if you're listening, you know, hit them up on Facebook.
And Macy, are you and Jamie and Andy, are you all artists? I'm just curious a little bit more about your backgrounds.
Yes, we're actually each design student. So I major in fashion design. Andy is a graphic designer and Jamie is industrial design.
Okay. And that's interesting. The three of you got together and said this would be a great project to do for these kids.
Yes. I think that each of us having our own skill sets and specialty area is really what has helped this develop. We each have a different perspective on how to design, and our design processes are a little bit different. So I think that that's what's been able to give this project so much momentum.
Yeah. So what are you looking at next? I mean, where would you like to take this?
So right now we're working on developing this into a nonprofit, so paperwork. And then once we move past that, we're actually working right now on a children's book that will be delivered with the sidekicks that provides an educational experience for the kids to understand what their sidekick is able to like let them do and what the sidekick can help them throughout their day do. So whether that's a morning routine, whether that's going on an adventure, whether that's going to sleep at night, just allowing the child to understand this bond that they can have with their sidekick.
So a little bit more, a few more details about the storybook. What exactly is that going to be?
So that will be given to each child with their sidekick.
Is this the story of the sidekick?
So this is essentially the story of the sidekick. Yes, Jamie will be authoring it, and Andy will be illustrating it. And it's essentially sidekicks are made for helping you start your day. Sidekicks are made for adventures near and far, and being able to help the child explore their imagination further.
And I guess this all revolves, too, around you want to actually create a backpack that has the book and the sidekick and some other elements in that backpack.
Yeah, so that's the full sidekicks package would include a backpack with the stuffed animal, their original drawing, and then the storybook as well with a pack of crayons and then maybe sewing tape or something that can help them repair their sidekick to understand that even if it gets a rip, they can still keep it. They don't have to throw it away. It can still be theirs. And that makes something special about their sidekick.
So, Mike, how far should this idea go? How big should this become?
It should go extremely far. I don't see any limit to what these folks can do with this idea. Any child who is having difficulty in school because of transience, isolation, or a social-emotional skill set that isn't quite as developed as it should be, it affects their executive function, their ability to make decisions. The having a sidekick, authoring your own story, having your backpack, you're going to be – these children are going to be way less likely to leave this behind when they're moving around. For kids in our programs, they might move 7-8 times a year. And even though they know their backpack and their calculator and their school supplies are important, they're not important enough to maybe bring if you got to go really quickly. But that sidekick is going to come with them. And again, having that attachment to something that is theirs and having the responsibility over it, taking it to the next level with the sewing kits to repair it, you can reuse things. There's no end to what it could teach a young person. I don't think there's any end. I think it's an extremely scalable, replicable model. Like anything in our sector, the only thing that's holding us back from changing the world are resources and people. So I would just encourage anyone that is listening, you know, really give this a real look on Facebook. You'll be happy you did, and you'll be proud to tell your friends when Sidekicks is in all 50 states and at the forefront of social-emotional health and children experiencing homelessness, leading seminars for social workers around the country. We actually put in James and Macy and I and Andy and Jamie put in a prospectus to folks up in New York to go present to the Institute for Children, Poverty, and Homelessness about this. So get in on the ground level. I feel very, very fortunate, Macy, that you are letting me take part in your awesome idea. So I really appreciate it. And anything that I can do to spread the word, obviously, I would.
And Macy, all 50 states, could you, and the other two, could you handle that?
Absolutely.
You'd find a way, wouldn't you?
Yeah, we're ready.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Have you thought about expanding this to other groups?
Yes, we are actually partnering with a couple different shelters in Cincinnati. So we're looking at four of the different family shelters here in Cincinnati and then really expanding it to any child who would need this.
Yeah. Lucy, how much potential do you see in this?
Well, I think it's pretty amazing. I know when I talked to James for the story that I did, he said he thought it had national and even international potential. And I mean, I think it's right. I think it's something that any kid would love, whether that kid is experiencing homelessness or not. I mean, I understand there's this especially important need for children who are experiencing homelessness or housing insecurity. But I mean, really, this is something, it's, you know, I joked about Build-A-Bear before, but it's better than that because you're involved from the ground floor in inventing and making your imagination come to life. And you know, I don't think it gets much better than that for a kid.
Yeah, and Lucy said something interesting there, James. Whether you're homeless or not, a lot of us have sidekicks that we were attached to. Mm-hmm. Mine was a teddy bear. I'll mm-hmm. admit that. And I still have it.
Yeah. I still have mine, too.
You should ask Macy about hers.
Macy, what's your sidekick that you still
yeah,
have?
Yeah, so I still have my baby blanket, and I have a pillow pet unicorn named Eunice, who I sleep with every single night. Shamelessly. And my husband has his baby blanket, and Jamie has her Winnie the Pooh.
But I'll bet your teddy bear is not as old as mine or anything that you might have. My teddy bear is 50, would be 52 years old by this point. So
not, yeah,
that's giving
not quite
my age
that
a little bit. Do the kids show an interest in learning how to sew? When you work with them on these things?
So they actually really do. Their biggest question is, how are you going to make this? And so we always bring a prototype with us to show the kids how we stuff it and how it's going to be sewn. We really didn't expect that to be something that they were interested in. But every single kid that we've sat down with has actually shown interest in, you know, when we say we're going to take it back to our workshop and make this, they are so intrigued as to, you know, how is this picture going to come to life?
Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Sidekicks co-founder Macy Meyer, Upspring Executive Director Mike Morosky, University of Cincinnati School of Social Work Assistant Professor Dr. James Canfield, and WCPO reporter Lucy May. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. You can find archives of our programs at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Selena Reeder. Dave Shermer was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU. A deadly attack in Charlottesville and the suspect has local ties. On the next Cincinnati edition, a look at hate groups in Ohio and how white nationalists are actively recruiting our youth. Plus $135 million taxpayer dollars invested in the bank's development. Are you getting your money's worth? We'll discuss these and other stories in our weekly news review. That's on Cincinnati Edition, Friday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.